ConocoPhillips versus Koopman. This is a case, it's a Rule 91A case in part, and so what happened here is that the defendant lost the Rule 91A motion. There's no basis in law or fact, denied, plaintiff got attorney's fees, defendant goes up again second time on summary judgment, wins on the same grounds, and tries to say, wait a minute, it was wrong to award the plaintiff attorney's fees. Really, we should be getting our attorney's fees. The Supreme Court said no. There's two different procedures here, and the rules mean what they say. If you move under Rule 91A and you lose, you're going to be paying the other side's attorney's fees. And because they lost, even though they won a summary judgment on the same grounds, you don't get to revisit the Rule 91A motion. Interestingly, he said you could have complained about the Rule 91A motion. And that just raised a question. It's exactly whether that would be mandamus at that point, since it would be interlocutory, or the proper way to do that. The last two cases from the Supreme Court that I really want to highlight, and actually there's a third one, too, I want to add for you all to consider, is the In Re National Lloyds case. It's been discussed a little bit. I'm sure other people will talk about it, but it really is, to me, if you have any attorney's fees or work product issue, you really got to read this case. It's part of the Hidalgo County Hale litigation. The main issue is, can you get your opponent's attorney's bills and fee information when you're trying to recover fees and they are not? There had been case law saying that you don't get that, an old case from, I think, the Fort Worth court. And there had been a recent case, this one, where the Corpus Christi court said, yes, you can get it. In particular, in that case, the defense lawyer was testifying, as they had in similar litigation previously, and in a similar case had looked at their own bills to talk about what was and was not reasonable. So the plaintiffs sought discovery of what the defendant's bills were in that case and other aspects of their opinion. The court said that is not proper. When you are not seeking fees, the other side does not have the right to discover your fee bills or your fee information. They have a long discussion on work product privilege, how sacred it is, how billing records are so important because they're a communication with your client. They show a roadmap as to how you're thinking about a case. So there's great language in that if you've got a privilege fight as well. But the court notes that opposing parties may choose to spend more or less time for different reasons. A plaintiff and a defendant are not in the same posture. The defendant may be a repeat player in litigation and may have a reason to spend what may be unreasonable for that case. The tasks and roles may be different even for the same deposition or the same thing. And that one firm's fees do not determine what's customary. The last point I'll make on this, and Professor Carlson mentioned it too, but I think it's really important. The court talks about methods. So now if you're trying to seek attorney's fees information, you can obtain it by disclosures, by deposition, or by report. And because many times disclosures are quite deficient, but not requests for productions or interrogatories like you could, I think, before and make a lot of sense. You know, asking interrogatories about, for instance, one of the Arthur Anderson factors. Have you lost any other clients because of your work on this case? Are you contending that this is a particularly complex piece of litigation? The proper way to do it now is disclosures, reports, and depositions. And so it may be that you may want to think about altering your practice, and maybe you do this already, that if you have an attorney's fees issue, especially if it goes to both sides, to have reports by the attorneys that will disclose the opinions. Otherwise, you may not get any information. And that may include segregation analysis. Justice Johnson, Boyd, and Lehrman all dissented. Their dissents are pretty strong. They said, you got to be kidding me. It's the same litigation. You're looking at their files, how much time they spent. It's at least discoverable or relevant, but they lost that argument 6-3. Okay, so let's talk about some of the particular statutes that are common. Oh, actually, let me back up and mention one other case real quick. It's called Horizon Health Corp versus Acadia Healthcare Company, May 26, 2017, Texas Supreme Court. And the issue there is segregation. And we're going to talk about it in some other context. But in that case, there were recoverable claims under breach contract in the Texas Theft Liability Act and non-recoverable claims. The attorney's fees expert had segregated between the non-recoverable claims and the two recoverable claims. The Court of Appeals and the Supreme Court found no basis to prevail on the breach of contract claim, so that had to be reversed. There was a basis to recover fees on prevailing on defending the Theft Liability Act claim, but it remanded saying we can't determine how much more needs to be segregated in addition to the segregating from the other cases, claims involved in the case, and the breach of contract claim. So I'm just pointing that out so you know what in 2017 I think the Texas Supreme Court expects by way of segregation of attorney's fees where there are more than one types of claims or where there are recoverable and non-recoverable claims. All right, so Chapter 38 issues. It's already the speakers on the, you know, Chamberlain and Winkler here were talking about, or Harvey were talking about, the legislature trying to fix the LLP and LLC problem. Virtually every case, I'm not aware of any case not adopting the line of cases saying if it doesn't talk about individuals or corporations, you cannot recover under Chapter 38 attorney's fees, because that's what the plain language of the statute says. I don't know if the legislature will change it, and I don't know that it is something that the legislature views as needing to be fixed. But it's a complaint that if you don't raise it at the proper time, it can be waived. Don't forget about presentment in a Chapter 38 case. It's got to be done. There's some cases saying it has to be done before suit's filed. There's other cases saying you can wait all the way up until before judgment or trial, 30 days, and it's still acceptable. There's a split in the courts over promissory estoppel, whether you can recover attorney's fees under Chapter 38 for promissory estoppel. The Corpus Christi, San Antonio, and Houston First Court of Appeals say yes. The Houston 14th Court of Appeals has said no. But that's a dispute percolating in the case law.